When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
It's Matt's Monday Mood Meter.
Are you kidding me? This baby is off the charts.
On TSN 1050. Mondays live here.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the
Monday. All right, let's start with this. Producer Chris, you've had a couple weeks now. Have you seen the 94-minute-long movie Office Space where it looks like somebody's got a case of the Mondays, where that comes from? Have you seen it yet?
I have not. I'm not going to lie to you, Matt, but I'm going to get on it tonight. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to watch it tonight, and I'm going to have my... Instead of Report Cause, it's going to be Report Chris, and I'm going to tell you about it tomorrow.
Oh, we're going to do both, because we're going to do Report Cause, because I'm really strident on my Jay's take, but we'll get to that in a second. All right, time for Matt's Monday Mood Meter. What do you got first?
All right, let's start on the diamond. How are you feeling about George Springer's health if you are Blue Jays manager John Snyder? Springer is once again on the IL, this time with a nagging elbow injury, and it's reportedly going to require some sort of off-season procedure to fix.
I am absolutely terrified because they have been trying for ages to keep him playing. You know, they would they'd mix in days off. They would use him as a DH from time to time. Before he went on the IL, he had missed 4 of 5 games. Like, this does feel, and again, no knowledge. I'm not there in the locker room. If it wasn't for the fact I'm bad at math and science, maybe I would have gone into the medical profession, but those two little speed bumps are keeping me away. But just the actions of the Blue Jays feel like a team that sees there is 11 leaks in the dam and they only got 10 fingers. So I am terrified right now if I am Blue Jays management. And listen, we know you got Whit Merrifield and that speed demon around the bases. He was safe at third on Sunday. I thought he was out at home. But anyway, I am terrified.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's hard to look at it any other way, really, when you think about what a pivotal piece Springer is for the team. So definitely reason for concern. How are you feeling if you are the Padres after getting swept over the weekend by the Dodgers? Much has been made about all the additions San Diego has made, but they did not pay off over the weekend, and the Dodgers increased their lead in the NL West.
I'm not really necessarily nervous, just because, much like with the Blue Jays, I'm not expecting to be able to win the American League East. You know, so same thing with the NL West. If I am San Diego, what I am is I am pensive. That might not be the right word.
No, I think that's good. That's a good word.
I am pensive. But more about Fernando Tatis Jr. All my eyes are on the rehab stint with Tatis. That is sort of where my attention is. You know, last night, Soto, Machado, and Bell, no hits, obviously no RBI. A couple walks for Soto, who's walking like a machine out there. But I think all my attention is, you know what it is? I'm going to distract myself from getting swept by the Dodgers, and all my focus is on the health of Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, you know, I don't really want to overreact to one series too much. It is, after all, like you said, pretty unlikely the Padres are going to catch the Dodgers. But, you know, I look at the other side of it, I do kind of wonder if that's deflating. Like, they must have been entering that series against L.A., like, riding really high, you know, thinking everything's going to start turning, you know, towards a good outcome for the rest of the season. But I don't know. I kind of do wonder if it's maybe a little bit deflating for them. I think that might be the word that I would personally use.
You know what? Your word's better. Your word's better. The Padres now, with that loss, they now have the last wild card spot. Philly is a half game up on them. And, of course, the annoying Atlanta Braves. Hey, I love you, Anthopoulos. They got the number one. They got the number one. But, yeah, it's deflating. It's like, wait a minute. We did the big move right now, and the Brewers only a game and a half back, and they traded away Hader.
All right, let's do one more on the diamond, and it's another sweep. How are you feeling if you are the New York Yankees after being swept this weekend by the Cardinals? This continues the trend of blah play from the Yankees, who are 12-18 over their last 30 games.
I'm conflicted because I want to be scared. Well, let's see here. They actually now, like, looking at it, the Dodgers got the best record in baseball. They are now tied with the Mets. I'm pissed. I'm pissed that I got the same record as the Mets, who are 8-2, and Jacob DeGrom looks so good out there, and their relievers coming in the ninth inning, and the horns are playing, and everyone's happy. I am cross town envious is what I am. We got the same record as the Mets, but they're a bunch of heroes, even though we've got our run differentials 90 better than them. But I am cross town envious.
You know, I'm sure that George Steinbrenner is rolling over in his grave right now, knowing that the Yankees are tied with the Mets. So, that's a fair way of looking at it for sure. Yeah. I do kind of wonder if a little bit of doubt is maybe creeping into the minds of the
seeping in.
Yeah, not a lot, but I mean, they do still have a 9.5 game lead over the Blue Jays. But I would say that the dream is not totally dead for the division, for the Blue Jays. Do you think it's like totally dead?
I think it's dead. It's 9.5 games. That's a lot.
It is for August.
Is a ton. Yeah, and put it this way: if the Jays were playing the 2020 Baltimore Orioles, I'd be like, oh, 15 games against them. They're going to go 12-3, and I give it a chance. But this stupid Orioles team is it's 4 games over 500. It's hot right now, 7-3 in their last 10, and they got a plus scoring differential themselves. Run differential. So, yeah, no, I don't see the division being open for the Jays. I don't see a path.
All right, you slightly teased it earlier, so we will get to it now. How are you feeling about your team's chances of contending this season if you are Patrice Bergeron?
Okay, sorry. I just say that again because I just started yelling.
How are you feeling about your team's chances of contending this season if you are Patrice Bergeron? You just signed a very team-friendly deal, which leaves your team some wiggle room, but this season could be tough with Marchand and McAvoy set to miss the beginning of the season.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to hijack this. If I'm Patrice Bergeron, I'm feeling hopeful because I'm an athlete. Every athlete has got a massive ego, and they're just going to wait for the playoffs. But I'm pissed off by this. The real question should have been, Matt, as a Maple Leaf fan, how are you feeling about Patrice Bergeron? Chris, help me out here. Who won the Selke last year?
I believe that was one Patrice Bergeron.
65 points in 73 games. I know he had some injuries. The man won the Selke. One-year deal. He's making, and I know there's performance-based incentives that could pay him another $2.5 million. Well, and I, as a Leaf fan, you better hope those performance-based incentives are, can you spell Bergeron, and you get that money. Alex Kerfoot makes $1 million more than Patrice Bergeron. Alex Kerfoot, I feel like Mugatu and Zoolander. I feel like everyone's taking crazy pills here. Do you realize Patrice Bergeron is making $250,000 more than Pierre Engvall? Why? Why is this, Chris? Why is this in every other bleeping team that is somehow competitive against the Maple Leafs? They got player team friendly contracts all over the place, and Toronto has none. This deal is a slap in the face to Brandon Pridham and to Kyle Dubas and to Shanahan. You know what they're doing? You know what they're doing right now? This is a troll job. Congratulations, Boston. This is a troll job by you to piss off Leaf fans. You know what happened? You know what happened, Chris? The moment we saw this deal, everyone did what I did. I immediately went to Cap Friendly. I went to Cap Friendly and I started scanning. Who are the contracts that are near Patrice Bergeron's? And then I see old money bags, Alex Kerfoot, $1 million more, and Pierre Engvall, $250,000 less. Oh God, this one always angers me so much.
Yeah, this is just another example of. It's certainly not the first. We've seen Colorado, Tampa Bay, Boston, all of those teams, whether it's through management or the players themselves, they establish culture. We are going to take less because we want the team to win. And there's no question that as a Leafs fan, you have to pull your hair out given what transpired here over the last few years. To play devil's advocate a little bit, there is context here. He is old. He's 36 or 37, and he's trying to give his team a little bit of flexibility. It's not as though this is a 28-year-old Patrice Bergeron, who signed a 4-year deal for 2.5. Like, this is, you know, this is the latter, the tail end of his career. So
the tail end of his career that won a Selke.
Yeah, I know. Okay, let me say this. I wanted to ask you this. Do you have those players in sports where you were so certain before everyone else that they were going to be good, and not only good, but maybe even great? For me, Patrice Bergeron and Joe Pavelski were those guys for me. I loved them before they were popular, and I will die on that hill.
Let's see. Adrian Peterson. Okay. I remember watching Adrian Peterson as a freshman at, I believe it was Oklahoma. And it took about a game. I'm like, ooh, that guy's going to be great in the pros. It's the first one that comes to my head. Like, I don't want to try to do the, I mean, even that's kind of an obvious one. I'm trying to think of who's the guy that sort of maybe you weren't fully in on, but, you know, like, but that's always the first name that I think of, where you just, it didn't take long. I'm like, oh yeah, that guy's going to be a star on Sunday.
AP is a good one for sure. Let's go from one running back to another. How are you feeling if you are Kareem Hunt now that your trade request has been denied? Hunt will be an unrestricted free agent at year's end and is probably looking for a contract in the $10 million per year range.
I am how I'm feeling. If that's what I'm feeling delusional. I am feeling so delusional. If I'm Kareem Hunt, I'm begging to get Justin Tucker money. the kicker for the Ravens, who just signed like a 4-year deal for like $24 million, and like $17.5 million of it is guaranteed. If okay, I got it. I'm Kareem Hunt. You know what my emotion is? I am regretful. I am regretful that I, as a child, I said, "Yeah, I'll play running back." Where it's like, it doesn't matter what I do, I know I'm not getting that next contract. And whatever the next contract is, it's not going to be for a lot of money. There is no leverage. There is no leverage if you are Kareem Hunt. Cleveland's fine. They have Nick Chubb. You know, they have some other running backs there on the roster. They got rookie Jerome Ford. They got their Ernest Johnson. And listen, Kareem Hunt's really good, but teams don't pay for that. They just don't pay for 27-year-old running backs. So I am regretful that I chose to be a running back. If he was smart, he would have used his legs to learn how to kick a football instead of run with one, where he could make just as much money and have a safer career.
Regretful, very good word. I think you nailed that. Pretty apt. Yeah. I was driving in, like we discussed this morning, and I was listening to First Up, and they had Mark Dominic on, and he brought up the point, like, if you're the Browns, why are you going to trade him? Like, honestly, it's like as soon as you trade him, Murphy's Law will dictate that Nick Chubb will go down for the year. And like you said, he has no leverage in the situation. So I really don't see the benefit of trading him if I'm the Browns. And then you also got to look at, like, what's the market for running backs? Like, you're not
going to get much.
Yeah, that's what
You're going to get a 6th-round pick for him. You're going to get nothing for him. And again, he's a good player. But this is still the running back position. So, yeah, I would, no way. No, I'm regretful.
All right, let's go to another one. And they were also discussing this on First Up this morning, so I figured I would piggyback off of it. How are you feeling if you are drafting first overall in your fantasy football league and you want to take Christian McCaffrey? The guys on the show this morning were going back on whether McCaffrey or Derrick Henry is the better bet to finish as the RB1 this season.
I am, so it was Derrick Henry or Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking either of those guys. Nope. I'm not taking either. It's Jonathan Taylor, number one.
I'm with you.
And you know what? It's Nick Chubb too. Cleveland's got a really good offensive line. They got a good blocking tight end. The only reason you're nervous about it is, you know, they're going to load up 7 or 8 in the box. But the Steelers actually had the worst rush defense in the NFL last year. I think the Bengals were good, not great. We'll see about the Ravens. But I'm not going anywhere near Christian McCaffrey. Listen, you go take the cape. Go put the cape on. Go be a hero and take Christian McCaffrey. And you say to yourself, this year's going to be different. This year, I've learned my lesson. Do not do it. In fact, I would take Najee Harris. I would take Dalvin Cook. There are so many running backs. I don't want McCaffrey. I don't want that. If I'm drafting number one, I'm actually a little bit bummed out. I'm probably going receiver. If I'm picking number one, I might go receiver.
See, for me, I think Jonathan Taylor is the clear 1-1 this year.
Yes.
And I say that as somebody who has him in a keeper in my main league, because I'm sure the listeners care a lot about
congratulations.
That. But I will say, to play devil's advocate for McCaffrey, if everything does click and this guy gets back into shape and he stays on the field, like in full point PPR formats, this guy
of
is
course,
a monster.
He's incredible. We all know it. What is the okay? When I type, when I do my my script, my lineup for the show, I use a 12 font. 12. You use the word if McCaffrey stays healthy. How big of a font are you using for the I and the F?
24.
In the if he stay, yeah. If yeah.
You're doubling it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I'm not thinking. Okay. I can tell you right now. And unless they fall so far that people are taking their second tight end, McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott. I want nothing to do with any of them. Nothing.
I mean, I get the concern about them, but I mean, I do think at a certain point within, I don't know, the first 25, 30 picks, like they do become value at that point.
I know, but they'll be gone by then. I just don't want to be the guy. I'm going to see that grenade floating there, and I don't want to take it. I don't want to fall in it.
All right, last one here. We're going to go from the American football to the footy version of football. How are you feeling if you are a fan of TFC after seeing the recent increase in ticket prices? Tickets have jumped in recent weeks by anywhere between $50 and $90 after several new players were acquired. An average ticket to BMO now costs at least $100.
I'm feeling a little bit betrayed. If I'm a TFC fan, especially the ones that have been, you know, that have been following the team so closely, and maybe they'll be able to turn things around with all the Italians with Insignia on, and they won the other day, but they're still 13th. They're 13th in the Eastern Conference, so I'm feeling betrayed.
All right, that's probably a fair way to summarize it, especially for those people who were day oneers with TFC when things were not the best.